Techonomics on KGO 810. Welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics, a show that looks at how technology intersects with our economy as well as our daily lives. This week, we have a themed show where citizen science, smartphones, and big data research converge. Research that aims to save endangered species of all types. Amateur scientists help researchers with the human stewardship of the planet. Amateurs like Charles Darwin, Thomas Jefferson, Leonardo da Vinci, and more. And now with smartphones and mobile apps, anyone can help save a species with a snapshot and a share. Then we have an author whose new book helps anyone get involved in plant and animal conservation. Maybe you want to save the trees, like all of them. We have a tree researcher who highly values each and every piece of data you can send. And from the tech world, we'll look at Google's augmented reality when it comes to nature and more about Google's big week of new products. Coming up, this week's Techonomics.
Hello and welcome to this week's Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. This week is, for the most part, a themed show. This week we are looking at the intersection of science, smartphones, big data, and species extinctions. And there's no way we're going to do a show themed around nature and the preservation of animal and plant species without using some guidance from Sir David Attenborough.
We are so powerful. Our capacity for destruction is so huge that we have to do something positive.
On Techonomics this week, journalist and author Mary Ellen Hannibal joins us for the first two segments. She'll be discussing her new book, Citizen Scientist, Searching for Heroes and Hope in the Age of Extinction. And extinctions should be top of mind for every biped on the planet. Some context when it comes to this so-called age of extinction. The International Union for Conservation of Nature is the de facto authority and keeper of the list when it comes to plants and animals on the red list, as well as those on the more high-profile endangered list. There are now more than 41,000 species on the IUCN red list, and more than 16,000 of those are endangered species threatened with extinction. But there is hope. And that hope is as easy as a free download and the camera on your smartphone. Here's the first part of our interview with the author of Citizen Scientist.
Mary Ellen Hannibal, a journalist and author.
The title of your most recent book is Citizen Scientist, Searching for Heroes and Hope in an Age of Extinction. And if it's okay, I kind of want to skip towards the end a little bit because you have an anecdote in there that I think everybody can relate to, and that's birds. And birds as harbingers when it comes to citizen science. I'm wondering how you were able to pull me in and get me to read longer than I thought I was going to for that segment.
Well, birds, first of all, you know, I think they have a very primal kind of attraction for us. We love to watch them. They're almost everywhere, and they're very beautiful. And there's a database called eBird. It's really the granddaddy of all the citizen science databases. Mm-hmm. It's really big data citizen science at its biggest. eBird takes observations from bird watchers all over the world, and it's been going on for quite some time. And birders are very competitive. And they're out there all the time. They're very fastidious. They take data points of where they see what birds, when, and where. They give that data to eBird, and eBird agglomerates that data. And they have more than 200 million bird observations at eBird. It's probably up to 300 million by the time I say this.
Right.
And
wow.
You can go online and go on to Cornell Bird Observatory, and you can see these incredible visualizations made with the data. You can watch, they've done about 8 or 9 single species where you can watch the migration go like a shadow across North America, up and down over the course of a year. It's absolutely beautiful.
Fascinating.
But it's also really is telling us how the biotic world is responding to climate change. Mm-hmm. Because over time, you can see those patterns change, and you can see that different species are using the landscape differently, and you start to get clues about where the weather patterns are changing, where the precipitation patterns are changing. And then what matters about that a lot is not only, you know, for our comfort and everything like that, but also agriculture, viticulture, and just really the doings of our daily lives.
You touched on a couple of things there, and I want to come back to big data for sure so we can get more citizens involved in the science part of it. You did drop a 50-cent word on me off the air before we started, and that was phenology. So let's make that a teachable moment.
I don't know, a teachable moment.
It could be a teachable moment for them. This
ends up being what's called a teachable moment.
So phenology, pheno is from the Greek, which means to show. Mm-hmm. It refers to the timing of nature's events. So it's the seasonal changes. That's the onset of spring, fall, migration, hibernation. And these are the events that are changing their timing as the climate changes. And it's really where the abiotic world of climate change intersects with the biotic world of plants and animals.
I see. And so the effects that humans are causing on the global climate first kind of appear in the biotic world. Is that fair to say?
Yes, they are registered in the biotic world.
But it could get past us if we're not keeping a keen eye on things and looking for patterns. Is that also okay?
So we have to see the patterns. This is the only way we're going to actually have any kind of recourse to some of the bigger changes that are coming down the pike. So we're in a time of rapid change. Uh-huh. You know, we hear about this all the time. Sea level rise, floods, droughts. And that's all those things we can predict a little bit better if we're watching these overall patterns. And the only way we can really tell what these overall patterns are doing is by looking at these gigantic databases in statistical models and then visualized in maps, essentially.
You mentioned we're in rapid change as far as the climate goes, as far as the effects of climate change on the environment and the biotic world. We're also in a kind of a rapid change technologically speaking, too. So let's get under the hood on the big data thing. How can other people get involved with looking for and providing data for patterns?
So to stick with the phenology for a moment, there's a program called Nature's Notebook. And it's part of the National Phenology Network, but you can just type in on your computer Nature's Notebook. And this is a program for making note of, you monitor a single tree or a couple of trees or a couple of plants over time, and you give the National Phenology Network your data. And there's a tab on that that website mm-hmm. where you actually can be given the tools to model the data yourself. Now, climate scientists use these words called Tmax and Tmin, temperature max, temperature minimum, and they track changes of these data points within these parameters uh-huh. and then also putting in this precipitation variable. And believe me, I cannot do this, but you could probably do it. I mean, if you have basic statistical skills, you can do it.
Okay. Sounds like maybe something I could pair up with a child as well, like drag a person along and get them hooked up. I'm like thinking specifically of my 7-year-old.
Well, your 7-year-old would be a great person to do a Nature's Notebook thing with because it can be a little boring. You have to figure – here in California, actually, we have the California Phenology Project. It's part of Nature's Notebook. But what's really cool about it is they've selected like 30 plants that they want you to monitor. So you could pick one that you might have in your backyard or in a close by park and go with your child out there and regularly monitor it. And you'll see all this incredible stuff happen. You'll see, oh, my gosh, this bloomed. The bloom is now turning into a seed. You know, you watch the patterns of nature, and children are terrific observers of the fine points, as we know, right? They're always pointing things out to us.
Right.
So it's a great thing to do with a kid.
That sounds great. And it sounds like a nice joining of getting out of the house and still collecting some nerdy data, if you will, that's going to hopefully benefit things down the line.
Exactly. And I think you'll also be interested in this resource called iNaturalist, mm-hmm. something that you can put on your phone right now. It's free. The people who run iNaturalist are actually housed at the California Academy of Sciences. And what they're doing is basically providing a platform that's like the eBird platform, only it is for all the other taxa as well. So it's kind of like if you look at it online, it's like Facebook for nature lovers. So you'll go out with iNaturalist on your phone, take a picture of a plant or an animal, and the app gives it a date, a time, a latitude, and a longitude. That is the information that is the baseline for making this a usable piece of data. Then the other thing that needs to be done is that specimen needs to be verified by an expert. So iNaturalist provides experts looking at these data all the time, at these observations, and then verifying, yes, that's what you said it is. Once that gets past a certain threshold, that piece of data gets uploaded into a global database facility in use all around the globe 24/7 by scientists.
I love this marriage of ownership and data collection and naturalism and actually feeling like you are contributing and it's actively being validated by an expert.
It's fun on every level because if I don't know what any plants and animals are, I just don't have a good mind for remembering those species names. Uh-huh. So I can hardly ever say I know what something actually is. But then I'm learning, right? Because somebody else says, well, this is what it is. And that person is telling me what it is. So it's almost like a master class right in your phone.
We've been speaking with journalist and author Mary Ellen Hannibal. She has recently published her new book, Citizen Scientist, Searching for Heroes and Hope in an Age of Extinction. Coming up after the break, we have the second part of our chat with Ms. Hannibal, and we're going to dwell a bit more on the hope part of her book's subtitle.
Your curiosity, your imagination, your engagement are super, super important, maybe more important than what the scientists are doing.
This is Techonomics. I am Jason Middleton. Please come on back after we pay these bills.